Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Turn up the volume. We're crossing live to the sports desk. What's fresh? What's making waves? Let's find out.
Rightio, it's 11:24 here on SENZ. Time to head across to the sports desk. Just looking for anything that's really been of late to AFLW players charged in an unprecedented cocaine scandal. That's interesting too. Sydney Swans women's players. Not a lot else going on. Bullish Luna Ross, a skipper, talks up their America's Cup boat. Top sailors plead for Sail GP to stay in New Zealand. Chiefs to rest Damien McKenzie against Crusaders. Don't believe that for a second. But apart from that, they're the headlines at the moment, Louis.
And Smithy, TikTok famous twin slammed for filming F1 driver in toilet. So, but you would have been across that anyway. So I did
not
see.
The kind of thing I'd like to bring up.
Okay. Right, apologies. Only two more days of me, mate. What do we have here? This is an interesting one. I haven't heard of this in New Zealand, which is a good thing. I mean, it might have happened before my time. I'm sure there's some stories out there. Irish police are investigating after leading jockeys Sam Ewing and Jack Kennedy were allegedly assaulted in the early mornings of a street attack. Just after midnight, they, in County Kildare, both jockeys had enjoyed big winners at the Cheltenham Festival just 2 days earlier, yeah, and they were really badly injured. No arrests have been made, kicked and punched, and this was after Ewing was initially signalled out as he walked down the street. So it kind of implies that this people knew who they were. Antrim born Ewing won the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle on 33-1 outsider. Stellar story.
Might have upset a few favourite backers. So,
yeah.
Jockeys and scuffles, is that a brand spanking new concept?
No, that's not. It just kind of reads like these guys were attacked, though, rather than it was a fight.
Right, okay.
But, you know, they're young and they're out past midnight. So who knows? That all comes in the wash-up. But, yeah, that's not good. They do a hell of a job, jockeys. Put the bodies on the line. The last thing you need is to literally kick the F, you know, what's proverbial out of them. Danny Keir, long-time rugby player, England and Harlequins scrum half. He's announced his retirement from international rugby. So he played in all – do you know what? I didn't know he was 37 years old. Danny Keir is 37 years old, played in all of England's five Six Nations matches this year, and he actually got his 100th cap in their win over Ireland. So that's a very successful career from Danny Keir. Maybe he would want to come down and play for the Crusaders. We could use another English halfback approaching 40.
You could actually, yeah, because then with Willie Hines, you could get the average age of your halfbacks up to around the mid to late 30s, makes Mitch Drummond look like a pup.
That's right. Yeah, it's funny with the Crusaders. It's like we're either rolling out 19-year-olds or 36-year-olds.
Well, a good company for Crotts, Ryan Crotty.
Yeah, Johnny McNichol. Is it so hard just to have like a 28-year-old footballer? Is that strange of a concept? No, not their fault, and I won't be giving up on them. What about the Malnati win in the Valspar? I mean, there's a bloke who hasn't won for a while.
Yeah, 9 years. He won last in 2015. Good story, really great story, because he's so untypical. And, you know, he wears a floppy hat. Who wins playing golf with a floppy hat on these days? Peter Malmarty does that, so no trendy little baseball cap or golf cap as such for Peter Malmarty. His wife turns up and watches, not, you know, and jean shorts and jandals, basically holding a couple of kids. One's dressed in a cape like a superhero. I mean, it's just like, just so different to what you normally associate with the really rich and those the best of the best when we see them at the end of a tournament. This guy is, it's a great story. It's a terrific story. I wouldn't imagine he's got a 50-foot fishing boat or a helicopter or a private plane, Peter Malnati. I think he probably he does things in a much more different fashion, but certainly he can swing a golf club. And the way that people liked him, the way he walked down the 18th with his hands raised high above his head, he had three putts to win the tournament from about 12 feet, and he nearly nailed the first one. But the way, you know, I was just, it's a good story. I love Monday mornings. You see so much unfold on the PGA. But I digress and I take your attention away.
No. Well said. Actually, as you're talking, I'm just thinking fishing boat, Ryan Fox. Well, look, Foxy's got a bit of work to do here. He's got the Houston Open and the Valero Texas Open. I don't know if he'll play in both of those. He obviously has just played back-to-back weeks, so I don't know if he'll play 4 weeks on the trot going into the Masters. Then there's the Masters. So he's got to play one of them because he has to find form. Whether he plays both, I do not know. But, man, he needs to find some rhythm heading into the Masters. We've got such high hopes, and we just want him to do so well.
Well, what we're finding out about Ryan Fox and the PGA Tour is it's a very strong tour. It's a very strong tour, and there's a lot of trouble on the golf courses. They're less forgiving, I think. It's fair to say, across the world, a lot more water on a lot of courses. But we're also finding out that the PGA Tour, even with the defections to LIV Golf, still has a lot of strength, a lot of deep-reaching talent that can win most weeks. And Ryan Fox enters this particular league of golf, and it hasn't started well for him. The first thing he wanted to do was sort of get a lot of money early on so you guarantee your year and you guarantee your place in the side. Well, he hasn't played under a lot of pressure for quite some time because he's been so damn good. I mean, he's still just in the top 40 golfers in the world, and isn't that a hell of an achievement? But he's just finding out, and we're all finding out, I think it's educating us as well, as to the strength of the US PGA Tour.
It's a good point, Smithy, and I think your point around the courses and the unforgiving nature of the water and then the green the rough that they play in week in, week out. It's quite tough work, and I just don't know. I don't know exactly if he's playing in both those events, but he definitely will be playing in one. Now, two more things on the sports desk. Pakistan bowler Muhammad Amir, you'll be familiar with.
Mm. Yes,
he is going to miss the start of the Derbyshire season because he's returning to international cricket because he wants to play in the T20 World Cup. So it's expected that Amir will now be named in Pakistan's squad for the five T20s against New Zealand starting on April 18. Smithy, how old would you guess Muhammad Amir is?
Muhammad Amir's name has been around for a long period of time, but I'm going to say Muhammad Amir is not as old as you think. I'm going to say Muhammad Amir is about 29 to 30. There you go. 29 to 30.
He's 31, but your point is correct. It feels like he's been in our lives, for obvious reasons, for, nearly two decades, to be honest. It feels like it literally feels like so long ago we were familiar with him, then very familiar with him. And, he's played a stack of international cricket. He's played a stack of cricket. He's obviously still extremely sought after, so I think it's a good pickup for Pakistan to have him back in there for some experience. Would you agree?
I totally agree. Before you've announced your exciting giveaway that you've got there, Louis, as part of your farewell speech, Premiers Penrith, of course, are going to be doing without Nathan Cleary for the next month. If you hadn't caught up on that, and I hadn't until Brian alluded, gave it to me this morning, done a hamstring. Got a hamstring problem. So he's out for probably a month at the least, which could take him out of the first State of Origin game as well. But certainly the Panthers will be out without their champion seven. I've existed without them before, without any problem at all, but they'll be hamstrung themselves, for want of a better word, ever so slightly without Nathan Cleary, regarded, I think, and quite comfortably too, as the best number seven in the world. And that's on the back of the announcement that Mitchell Moses is out as well. So there you go. New South Wales might be struggling in their playmaking role.
Yeah, seems like it. I was just checked the schedule. I was praying that the Warriors had Penrith in the next couple of weeks. We don't. We don't. And we don't have the Eels either, actually. We got the Knights, Rabbits, Eagles, Dragons, Titans. We should pick some wins up there. We should be able to rattle off a few there, which would be bloody good. Now, Smithy, I don't know if you saw the news. Actually, we started the show talking sports broadcasting and rights. I'd just like to give Sky, I mean, they have priced me out personally. Their exorbitant Sky Now subscription, crazy. But congratulations to them, because via their channel Sky Open on Freeview, they have been playing a lot of sport. And they had the whole Melbourne F1 Grand Prix uninterrupted, live, free-to-air on Sunday afternoon. It was brilliant. I was a little bit disappointed I wasn't going to be able to watch it, and I just flicked it on because I always see if it's on, and I thought it was just outstanding that they had that on. And the race was wonderful. The first time ever Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen have had to withdraw because of car issues. So it meant that the race was left wide open and Max couldn't just brain them by 1,000 lengths. So doing what he does and kind of popping up at the strange time, Carlos Sainz minus Sainz appendix. He had appendicitis, so that came out. He's won, limping, and he won really well. So congratulations to Carlos Sainz. Now, I got sent this book by a publisher, and you can find this in all good bookstores as well, but I've got a copy to give away. It's titled Max Verstappen, and it is a biography, The Unstoppable Force in Formula One, Ewan McKenzie. Ewan McKenzie is a writer and former F1 journalist and editor. He worked as an F1 website producer and contributed to a variety of motoring magazines, including a spell as deputy editor of F1 Racing magazine. And I've had a skim through this book, and it's just got all of the stats, the data, his rise from a kid, his F1 seasons, kind of the detail he goes to, his personal life, what lies ahead. It's brilliant. If you're a Formula One fan and a Max Verstappen fan, you might want this. And I thought we could give it away. All I want to know, Smithy, is if people want the book, if you're an F1 fan, you will. 8833, text your name and your address, because somebody's going to have it sent to them. And can you just tell me, if it's not Max Verstappen, if Max Verstappen didn't exist, if an alien light beam came down and sucked him up to outer space, who would win the F1 Drivers' Championship? Because Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc, Sergio Perez are all on the next line of betting at 23-1. Verstappen's $1.05. Unbackable. Then you've got Lando Norris, Fernando Alonso, George Russell, Lewis Hamilton. The rest of them, you couldn't entertain it. Actually, you couldn't entertain anyone other than Verstappen. Hypothetically, though, Smithy, if not Max Verstappen, who? And if you text me that, your name and your address, somebody can have this book.
Okay, Louis, that's terrific. Looks just for looking through the camera, it looks a fantastic read. So just repeating that, if they text us in with who they think is going to be the most likely winner, or if you took Max Verstappen out of the field, if he was out of the field, basically you're talking about who's going to be second in this year's Formula One. Please do that, and it is. Looks a magnificent spectacle. Morning, lads. Listen to the potty with Staffy on it. Great story, well worth a listen for all the patrons out there that listen to him. Quite sad at times, but amazing yarns as well. It is an amazing story, the Mark Stafford story. And just prior to 12 o'clock, we'll be talking to the man himself with his show on this afternoon. It's coming up to 11:38 here on SENZ.